This episode is brought to you by WeTheCreated.com. WeTheCreated is a full-service design house ready to work to make your web design, graphic work, audio, or video production come to life. For a free price quote, visit www.WeTheCreated.com or call them at 512-777-1463. Again, that's 512-777-1463.
Entertaining shows with content that spreads information and sparks discourse throughout the community. This is the Pearl Media Network.
Welcome to the Kyle Life Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to showcasing what makes Kyle, Texas unique. We interview local business owners, politicians, and talk with everyday residents to further promote our beautiful city. This podcast is brought to you by KyleLife.com. and is proudly part of the Pearl Media Network. We thank you for tuning in today. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey guys, Joshua here with Kyle Life, and today we're recording from the Pearl Media Network studios located here in West Kyle. Joining me for this episode is a good friend and supporter of the Kyle Life, Will Caldwell, who is the program coordinator at Dojo Kyle Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is a premier martial arts studio located in downtown Kyle. Will, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
So to start this off, Will, could you tell us a little bit about Dojo Kyle and how long you guys have been teaching jiu-jitsu in the Kyle area?
Yeah, Ryan Shinto, the head instructor at the school, started about 3 years ago here in Kyle, and I've been with Ryan for a little over two, just helping out, trying to smooth everything out with the programs and make sure it's the best experience possible for the community. I feel very fortunate to be able to train with Ryan on a almost daily basis. You know, we train about 6 days a week and really try to get it in. And I think being in his classes has really improved my understanding of the fundamentals. And for the people who are just starting out, like, man, his fundamentals classes are on point. He does what's called a rolling curriculum, so to where you could come in today and it would just it's kind of based where you wouldn't necessarily need a prior knowledge to come in and figure it out. And the people who I've seen starting out, you know, they train for about, I'd say, 3 to 6 months, and they have solid games. You know, they don't have what you would consider a complete game. Like, I don't consider myself to have a complete game.
Right.
I'm sure if you asked Ryan, he would say he doesn't have a complete game. I would think if you asked the founder of Jiu-Jitsu, Helio Gracie, you know, do you have a complete game? Maybe he would say, yeah, but that's, you know, 50, 60 years, maybe, no, probably longer than that, maybe 70 years in the making. So you won't have a complete game, but you will start to become well-rounded. And yeah, and that's pretty quick, I would say. And that has a lot to do with just the way his classes are taught.
Yeah, when he started 3 years ago, y'all weren't at your current location, correct?
We were initially training out of a warehouse space on the east side of I-35, and now we're in downtown Kyle.
Great. So as y'all have been growing as a school, y'all have just had to keep finding the space that's big enough to handle all the students?
It wasn't so much a space issue. We're just trying to make it the best experience possible, and one thing we were lacking in our former location, which was just a warehouse space, was air conditioning. So, you know, some moms would bring their kids in and they'd be like,
those summer months were probably not very pleasant. Actually, I know they weren't pleasant because I trained there.
That's right. Yeah, you know. You had to be a pretty dedicated student at that time to be coming in, showing up consistently. So, you know, we were psyched to attract that initial membership because, man, those are the dedicated guys. But we wanted to expand it and make it more for everyone. So moving into downtown Kyle has given us the main improvement, which is air conditioning. And the location is,
it's a nice location.
Yeah, it's a little more convenient. You know, the railroad is kind of a mess.
Yeah, perpetually though for this city.
Right. Yeah.
So everybody feels it, but yeah, I appreciate it from being over on this side of the tracks. But
yeah, so people ask me, does anyone ever mention the AC? I say, no one ever mentions the AC, but no one ever mentions the heat. You know, that's the main thing, right? So
that's a good point.
Yeah, so since we've been in the new spot, climate controlled, we've had some good growth and couldn't be happier.
Before we go much further, to clarify for those listening that don't quite understand what jiu-jitsu is, how would you say it separates itself from other martial arts like karate or taekwondo? Because I find online, like my neighborhood Facebook page, You know, a lot of people ask for recommendations for a karate school, but they don't necessarily just mean what you know as karate. So how is it different?
Sure. Jiu-jitsu is more in the category of wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a grappling art. So I would say, yeah, just imagine wrestling, except with the end goal, instead of being a pin, you're looking for a submission. You know, I think I got into jiu-jitsu initially, and I liked it a lot because it wasn't quite as formal as some other traditional martial mm-hmm. arts. Like, I don't have a master, you know, I have an instructor, I have a coach, I don't have a master. I don't necessarily like that aspect of the martial arts, you know. So we do, it is somewhat formal. We do bow in to start a class and bow out, but that's just more kind of keeping the show rolling, just so you know. All right, class has started, class has ended, and we try to keep some of that more Eastern, what would you say?
Traditional aspect.
Yeah, traditional is a good word. We try to keep that minimized, and, you know, we don't have you bow into any pictures. The kids call me coach, and I would even go as far as to say the kids could call me Will, but Ryan's a little more old school. He prefers, you know, he's been a coach for years in the Lockhart public school system, so I think the coach thing just feels appropriate to him. And I'm happy with it as well.
Right. Elaborating on that, the Eastern spirituality is not a part of it.
No.
The military, kind of that military feel that some martial arts have, you're saying it's not going to be present there. People aren't going to come in intimidated by their instructors.
No, yeah. I think jiu-jitsu offers some great benefits as far as physical and mental, you know, kind of overcoming challenges. But as far as the spirituality aspect, I prefer to keep that outside of the jiu-jitsu school. I think that's more of an individual thing. I guess if you find it through a martial art, you know, that's great. But I don't necessarily want to promote that.
Absolutely. So when people think of martial arts, like when people are asking in my neighborhood Facebook page and a lot, they're typically asking for their kids, because I think the mindset is always that it's a activity that kids do, right? Or even teenagers. But at Dojo Kyle, y'all have classes for all ages, and jiu-jitsu is not limited to an age group.
Our adult programs actually are largest, and I think that has a lot to do with probably the popularity of the UFC, and in the early UFCs, Royce Gracie of the Gracie family was really dominant. His style was strictly jiu-jitsu, so people view it, I think, as more of a practical martial art, practical way of defending themselves, and less as like a fun activity for their kids. Although, you know, we do, our kids program is always growing, and the kids seem to get into it as well. I think there's something kind of instinctual about like liking to wrestle as a kid. I know I wrestled as a kid, and you know, I wasn't too good at it, so I guess it's good I got into jiu-jitsu.
And like you said, with self-defense, that tends to be an underlying reasoning for parents looking to get their kids involved. I would argue, and I'm sure you can back this up, that jiu-jitsu is extremely effective if you're looking for self-defense for yourself or your children.
Right. I personally don't have any kids, but if I did, I wouldn't want them to punch someone at
right.
school. I would feel kind of, I don't know, I don't think that would be the way to handle a problem. But if, you know, if you were in a, if someone did confront you, I think being able to restrain them, get a good position, you know, get someone on the ground and just hold them down and positionally control them, I think would be the route to take. And then as far as the submissions go with the kids, it's not a huge focus. Like I don't like to show the kids chokes. We do have some youth who compete, and in the competitive realm, you do need to know those chokes. So that small core does learn them, but the vast majority, you know, if you come in for a regular class, I just don't feel right teaching an 8-year-old how to choke someone and maybe potentially injure them unintentionally, give them some brain damage or something. So, in general, that's how I feel towards the submissions, where, you know, for the most part, they say position before submission. So before you even get to really needing to know your submissions, you need to know how to maintain a good position. And in a conflict, like a schoolyard kind of situation, mm-hmm. just the physical control would be plenty to, you could just hold someone down and say, hey man, I'm not gonna let you up until you're not gonna bother me.
And in today's school systems, that's ideal, because even fighting back has found a lot of kids in trouble from defense. So it's a good thing if you can just restrain,
call the appropriate adult over and handle it. It's a very effective means of controlling a situation without excessive violence.
Right. And that's one thing I love about training myself is you get the sparring, you know, kids come in and on day one we have them sparring. And it's not sparring in the sense that, you know, since there are no punches or kicks, they're not coming in and picking up some head injury on their first day. It's just, it's wrestling, you know, it's like a natural thing. Kids know how to wrestle almost instinctually from what I've seen. It's just, it just happens. You know, I have trained in some other martial arts. I boxed for a brief amount of time, not enough to be what I would really consider competent, but long enough to kind of get the feeling like, I wonder if what I'm learning I could actually do in a sparring match or in any kind of live situation. And with jiu-jitsu, you know, you get that instant feedback. You learn a position and hey, now you're wrestling, you get to try it out and you get to really see if it's going to be effective against someone who's resisting at maybe not 100%, but near 100%. You know, no one likes to lose, so
yeah.
No one's just going to let you manhandle them. If someone, you know, if someone's trying to get a good position on me, I'm doing everything in my power to not let them, because there's just that little bit of competitiveness. But it's done in a safe way to where if I find myself in a bad situation, all I need to do is tap out and I can avoid any kind of injury. So it's really it's in my control. And tapping out is just kind of signify, it's just like saying I give up. And when you give up, your partner lets go and you get up uninjured, healthy, and ready to go again.
And they show you how they got you, you learn, and you move on.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it's so you really get to find out about the effectiveness right off the bat.
So with that being said, too, it's fair to say, in my experience especially, it's a very humbling martial art, which is a good thing for me and for many folks, because it while it builds confidence as you train, it instills a realness in you that you're not invincible, and there are people that out there that can, you know, handle you.
Yeah, it's very humbling. I would say for about the first year and a half when I started training, I don't think I submitted anyone, so I didn't win a match for probably about 6 months. And I'm a slow learner, so it takes me a while to pick up on stuff. I think for a lot of people it's a little quicker, but for me it was about 6 months. And when I started training out in Luling with my instructor, King Webb, he has a lot of great guys out there. So I was going out, I was driving 45 minutes out to Luling and just getting manhandled. And then, you know, that's a long car ride home, man. When you're
a lot of reflection time.
Oh, that's a long 45 minutes when you're thinking like, oh man, I just got whooped up on, you know. And you know, thankfully I do have that little bit of competitiveness, but not enough to the point where I would not tap out and maybe get myself injured. Right. It's in my control to give up. So, but yeah, I'd have a lot of talks with myself like, man, maybe I should pick up golf or something, find something that, you know, is a little less.
The potential of being humiliated is a lot less.
Right, right.
You can go play pitch and putt by yourself.
Sure.
You can't do jiu-jitsu by yourself.
Sure. Yeah, so, but sticking with it, it's really taught me a lot about, I guess, about life. You know, how to stick with anything, right? Like, it's like, man, it's a very challenging activity. And one thing I try to convey to the kids is like, if you can do jiu-jitsu, if you can stick with this and get good at it, in my opinion, you could probably get good at anything. You know, math is, I always struggle with math, but math is easy compared to, you know, someone, the stress and the emotions you feel when someone's like physically dominating you and you got to kind of get through that.
Yeah.
So when you do get through it, you come out on the better and you come out on the other side, like with that confidence and you feel
Well, I can say I'm going in December will be on 2 years, and the difference of self-confidence, not cockiness, but confidence that I feel in myself is just night and day. And same with the skill set, though. Like, that's what I appreciate about jiu-jitsu is I feel like I've earned where I'm at, you know, because in 2 years, I've been handled probably a million to one in terms of actually giving it to someone else. But if you can strip yourself of pride, which is always a good thing, you know, jiu-jitsu is extremely empowering.
Right. I totally agree. My first couple months training, I was getting manhandled by a guy who is 135 pounds, and I'm, you know, I'm not a huge person, but I'm 6'3", 205 pounds. I'm relatively big compared right. to most people. And you would just think, all right, I'm physically bigger than this guy. I should be able to
just dominate.
Yeah, dominate, control him. And that was not the case. It was it was a rough couple months for me. And I remember asking him, like, man, how long have you been training? Like, I felt like he was just so much better than me. How long have you been training? He's like, it was like 3 months longer than me. So he had been, you know, there's a very steep learning curve. And in the beginning, if you, you know, if you can get through it, it pays off, because then 6 months down the road, a new guy comes in and you're kind of, you can practice some of your techniques and you feel in control of the situation. And you just think like, man, that's most people, you know, most people, they're walking around. It's their, they've never had a jiu-jitsu class. They don't know the first thing about wrestling and
right.
And you're able to control it in this environment.
And, you know, talking again, elaborating more on the benefits, that's why y'all have worked a lot with community groups and the child police department too, doing seminars sure. to teach these techniques, right? To more empower. Y'all have done a women's safety seminar, helping them to defend themselves when they're on their own in confidence. And then with KPD, y'all have done tactics of restraining criminals out in the field, right?
Yeah, definitely. And we love doing that stuff. I mean, I think the more people involved in jiu-jitsu, the better. And I'm not saying that just because I work in the field or whatever, but I mean, it's had such a positive impact on my life, and I see it having a positive impact on the members at our school. And I just think, like, yeah, the more people that we can reach out to as far as, yeah, women's groups, because that's kind of the whole idea of jiu-jitsu, the smaller person being able to overcome the larger opponent. For police, yes, I think it's great. I'm friends with Detective Loria, one of the guys in the Kyle PD, and he's a walking encyclopedia of statistics for officer, what would you call them, confrontations?
Yeah. Terribly interesting guy to talk to.
Yeah, I'm like, geez, man, you know, I get the feeling he doesn't go home and watch TV. He's probably going home and reading about more about law enforcement. But one of the things he was talking about was I think it was a Georgetown officer getting into like a 12-minute like wrestling match with a what are they called, a perp?
Yeah, perp.
Yeah, 12-minute wrestling match with a perp, you know, and it's like for those guys,
12 minutes is a long time.
That's a long time. Like if you never wrestled or done an activity similar, 30 seconds is a long time. So just imagine, you know, 5, 10, 12 minutes, that's when you start potentially getting into that heart attack range where, you know, you have the adrenaline dump, your body's just taxed to the max, and your life is really on the line. And just with 6 months of jiu-jitsu training, an officer would be able to totally control the situation with a regular person.
When now, people would appreciate an officer knowing these restraining, as opposed to having to go to a gun or even a taser, sure. right? If you could restrain a perp because you know how to restrain them, as opposed to,
sure.
oh man, I can't control the situation, I gotta tase them. I'm not going to be on that end. I'm just saying, if I was, I'd rather be have my hands behind my back and their knee on my back or whatever than a taser in my gut.
Right. And same as with the kids, you know, it's the positional control. If you right. can get that good positional control, you can really just control the situation. And, you know, I'm happy to say we do have several law enforcement members training. We love having them as a part of the school. Not so much with the fire guys. I guess fire people are usually happy to see the fire department. They don't ever get into have to worry about getting into any wrestling matches.
Yeah. Well, police. I know talking to the guys that train there, they understand the benefit it is to their career, and that's what brings them back. And sure. I appreciate that, because then if they're better at their job, that makes me and the community feel better about, you know,
sure.
having them on the force.
And yeah, and I think the martial arts in general, it's kind of like being a responsible member of the community, you know,
right.
like in Japan, I don't know if there's a correlation. I haven't studied it, so no one take this as you know, just take it for what it's worth. But I knew a girl in college who was from Japan, and martial arts were like their PE. So you're doing a martial art 5 days a week. And just think about that culture. Think about how low their crime rate is, and just think about what the Japanese are known for as far as their work ethic and their dedication.
That's a good point, yeah. A question I often get when I'm talking about Dojo Kyle and recommending it is, more of a statement, people go, oh, I'm going to get in shape first before I come. And I tell them that this will get you in shape. Y'all don't have any specific physical expectations anyway for people that are interested in training, right?
No, definitely not.
I mean, short of broken bones and or heart murmurs or whatnot, I mean, sure. Anybody of any size or weight can come and begin training today.
Definitely. I think I've seen this meme on the internet that says, you know, the best time to start jiu-jitsu is when you're 5 years old, and the next best time is today, you know. So it's like, yeah, I mean, we're not expecting you to come in as a Olympic athlete or even in good shape. We have plenty of people who can do certain techniques, can't do others. You really just need to talk with our head instructor, Ryan Shinto. Just let him know your limitations, and we are more than happy to work around that. And it's, you know, it's just everyone has to start somewhere, right? So you come in on your first class and you can only do, well, I don't know. I mean, I think anyone could do a full class.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You don't kill anybody. I mean, it doesn't push them so far that they,
no, it's pretty, I would say Ryan's class is more, technique focused. So you're really just learning the fundamentals. And, with the kids, we do more, fitness related warm ups and stuff like that. But with the adults, the workout comes from, if you're out of shape, just from coming in and doing the techniques and getting moving for an hour, could be a good workout, but it's nice because you can kind of dictate your own pace.
Yeah.
And, as you begin to advance, you know, the workout becomes more the wrestling, the live sparring, and, you can really kind of either communicate with your partner and say, Hey, I'm feeling a little tired today. I don't feel like I can go 100%. Let's just wrestle at about 50%. And man, you can get an amazing workout going 50%, just trying to keep up. And I don't know, it's in my opinion, the best way to get fit, just because my first love was weightlifting. I got into it, but it's a real solitary kind of individual activity.
Right. Yeah.
And jiu-jitsu, you need training partners. You need these people to help you improve. So you get the workout, you get the, I would say, a life skill of knowing how to defend yourself or, you know, a family member or another member in the community. And you also get to meet a lot of really cool people.
Yeah, the camaraderie is a cool thing. The jiu-jitsu culture is a real cool thing to see.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, jiu-jitsu people, there's something about the grappling aspect that just really, it really humbles you and kind of lets you know, like, all right, yeah, maybe I'm better than this person, but you know, there's a long list of people still way better than me. So it's kind of like you just in the same way those people help you, you want to help someone else and kind of, you know, you all grow together.
Absolutely. And going back on the workout part, it is what you make of it. I can attest, when I first started, I'm 5'7" on my toes, I think. And I was weighing 215-ish. And I had approached you about coming in training because I wanted to lose weight and I don't want to run.
Sure.
I'm just not the type to run. Yeah. Running's terrible.
I don't like it. I don't dig it.
And, lo and behold, through a healthier diet and jiu-jitsu, it was only 3.5 months before I dropped almost 50 pounds. So it definitely is what you make it. If you come in, you train, you know, 4 nights a week or even 3 nights a week is what I was doing, training. And then, it is what you make it. That's for sure.
Yeah. 50 pounds that's great. And we've had a lot of guys, I would say 25 to 30 is a lot more common. 50s, I think.
I had it to lose. That was the problem.
Straightening out that diet
goes
a long way. But yeah, I kind of joke with some of the guys about like, man, we're going to have to get you a new belt because it's hanging down to your knee, man. You're losing so much weight. You look kind of like a dork with a super long belt.
It's a cool thing though when you're training with someone long enough and you don't even notice it until, like you said, like the belt's hanging. You're like, oh wow, yeah, so and so just look. How long have you been training? How much weight did you lose?
Right,
it's crazy.
Right. Yeah, I love hearing those success stories.
Aside from your website, y'all are also on all the normal social media, right?
Yeah, we're not super active with any of it, but yes, we are on Facebook. We are on Twitter and I think maybe Pinterest. I think there might be a Dojo Kyle Pinterest.
If you Google Dojo Kyle, they all appear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all on Google. But yeah, I would just recommend going to the homepage, signing up for the newsletter. The newsletter's nice. We don't really spam anyone. It's just kind of, I would say we get something out maybe every 2 weeks to a month.
Yeah, it's a legitimate use of a newsletter, letting people know what's going on.
Yeah, I personally hate spam. So I, you know, it's like my, you know, I follow the golden rule. You know, I would never spam anyone unless they spam me first. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't spam anyone because I personally hate getting spam. So I don't want to clog up anyone's inbox with a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
But I mean, we are trying to do some things in the community as far as service projects, and we have a youth competition team and the occasional special offer that we're running we announce through the newsletter. So it's just nice to be able to keep in touch with people. So if you'd like to sign up, you can do that at our homepage, dojokyle.com. Just right there, it's on the right hand side of the page. Super easy to find, super easy to sign up for.
And for those old-fashioned folks listening that just like a good phone call, how can they reach you?
Our phone number is 512-686-6077.
Awesome. So dojokyle.net, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, probably Pinterest, maybe.
Yeah.
Just Google it and we'll see where they're at. Well, I really do appreciate you coming in, man, and talking about the dojo. I know I have been trying to get you to talk about it forever because I enjoy it so much. So it's been great finally getting you to sit down with me.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. I love the studio. You've done a really great job with Kyle Life and the podcast. I love listening to them. Keep it going.
Absolutely. And that's gonna do it for this episode of the Kyle Life podcast. If you'd like more information on Dojo Kyle, check out their website at www.dojokyle.com or call them at 512-686-6077. For KyleLife.com and the Pearl Media Network, I'm Joshua Steubing. Thank you for listening.